You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas has the number one ranked baseball team in the country. What a weekend for the Razorbacks. A 51-9 margin over the Missouri Tigers at Mom Walker Stadium. A series unlike anything we've ever seen before. Bubba Carpenter from the Razorback Sports Network is going to join me in studio today. We'll talk about the Razorbacks' win over Missouri. We'll talk about this number one ranking. We'll look ahead to Arkansas State game tomorrow night. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
I don't know where to begin, Bubba, on just all of the records that were set this weekend. I mean, 51 runs, most Arkansas has ever scored in an SEC series, eclipsing 50 against South Carolina in 1997. And you think about the South Carolina series, they had 27 innings at the bat to get 50 runs. This weekend, 18 innings. So basically 51 runs in two games at the plate, more or less. 42-run margin of victory over Missouri this weekend. Your dog's barking. 42-run margin of victory over Missouri this weekend. That's easily a program record, at least in an SEC series. First time they swept three straight opponents since 1999. I mean, just, again, I'm kind of flabbergasted by what we saw. I knew Missouri was not a good baseball team, but I think this weekend kind of opened my eyes to the fact that they're really bad. But even bad teams will play teams competitively. You still have to go out and do things well to make a bad team look bad. And, I mean, Arkansas made them look as bad as any team has ever made them look. Nobody's ever made them look that bad.
Well, okay, Matt, I'm going to be as respectful as I can.
To Missouri or me?
To Missouri. Okay. Well, I'm always respectful to you, but you know, I think Kerrick Jackson's a good guy. A lot of respect for Jameson, everything he's done. But that's a bad team. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that they're bad. I mean, in my mind, you can be bad and still do things right. I watched the team all weekend. Bad footwork in the infield. Missed cutoffs. Guys throwing to the wrong base. Guys just not hustling. The scouting reports, you know, where their defensive positioning. I mean, I could go on and on about things, and that's why they're, I mean, they've got some talent. They just, they're not a good team. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know we talk about little things all the time. Mm-hmm. If I listed all the little things that I want to see in a team, they don't do any of them. Honestly, they don't. And I don't understand that, because you can, like I said, you can be bad and still do things the right way and just not have the talent. And they just honestly didn't execute any aspect of the game. They had a few guys in the lineup that battled you. They had a few pitchers. I felt bad for Lovett yesterday. Boy, they threw him, 79, 80 pitches. Mm-hmm. I mean, he battled his butt off out there. And, you know, Knutson, the shortstop, has a ton of energy. He's like the only guy out there. Center fielder appears pretty good player. But other than that, I mean, a lot of guys just kind of going through the motions. Mm-hmm. And it's like they know they're bad, and then they just, like, they've just thrown in the towel. And, man, you can't do that when you're playing this game.
Kerrick Jackson, their coach, he had this quote after Saturday's game. I'm going to get confused because of all the schedule adjustments, everything we had. He said this on the radio network after Saturday's game. He said, quote, "I've tried to say everything that I can say, and obviously I have to keep trying, and maybe something is going to click for them. But, you know, when you're at this level, we shouldn't have to motivate you to play the game that you love to play and go out and play it well." When I heard him say that, I mean, you do not hear coaches say that publicly. I mean, it to me, it showed a real lack of frustration with what they're trying to teach, and there's a there's a disconnect between what they're trying to teach and obviously what's showing up on the field.
Well, the first thing, this is the first time I've ever done that. I saw Carrick put the headset on after the doubleheader loss yesterday, and I told Phil, I want to go hear what they're asking him, because the radio guy was asking him the question. So I stood outside and stuck my head over there where I could hear, because I wanted to know what he was asking him. And, you know, I know the question that led to that answer. And I was curious to what he said on his end. And so it was good to hear him say that, because I know what the question was before that. And I mean, I guess, you know, obviously he's trying to do the best he can. But look, if you don't want to play, if you don't want to play hard, and if you don't want to play with passion, find someone that will. I mean, it's not hard. You know, put someone else out there, you know, and maybe you sit on the bench for a weekend, you decide you want to play hard.
There's all kinds of quotes he had yesterday. He said, quote, "We don't have anybody that can stop them on the bump, so we have to be able to get some guys to put up some zeros." I mean, he says, "We don't have anybody that could stop them." And that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, how many scoreless innings did Arkansas have over the weekend? Not many.
Yeah.
Maybe five or six?
I think Lovett shut us out two innings, maybe. And that was it. I mean, I think he's the best guy they had. He's up to 94. You know, but they waited till they were down, I don't even know, 8 or 10 before they put him in. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, they just didn't have guys to me that look like SEC pitchers, to be honest with you. I mean, they ran a guy out there yesterday starting. I think he topped out at 86. I mean, that's not going to get it done in the SEC.
Missouri, they've got some injuries in their bullpen. Ian Loesch, who had been their number one starter all year, he got hurt at Texas or against Texas last week, and he wasn't able to play this weekend. I think their number one starter before the season got hurt, and so he hasn't even pitched. You saw Newbeck yesterday. I mean, he was one of their top pitchers two or three years ago, and then he'd missed like 2 years with injuries.
Right.
In fact, he just came back in the midweek before they came here to Fayetteville. They got another reliever who's injured, so that matters. I mean, it makes a difference. But even like you think Ian Loesch, his numbers weren't good. I mean, a 7-plus ERA. Everybody's whip on this team is 1.6 or higher, it seems like. Just not a real talented pitching team. It just does not look like the quality of arms that you see at most of the other SEC programs, even the ones that are struggling. You know, like a Florida, who's what, 1-11 now in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the quality of the arms there versus the quality of the arms at Missouri, and it's not even close. I'll play a few sound clips here for you. Dave Van Horn had this to say after yesterday's doubleheader sweep, Arkansas winning yesterday 14-4 and 16-2 after a 21-3 win on Saturday.
I mean, we scored 50 runs in three games. We scored 50 runs in less than 24 hours, pretty much. And, you know, it's because our hitters, they battle and they make you throw strikes for the most part. And got a lot of big two-out hits. Pitchers didn't walk very many people. And, you know, I just told the team, even our relievers were coming in with good lead. The game's, you know, for the most part was over, and they didn't just come in there and go through the motions. Man, they pitched, and, you know, that was really good to see. It gives the coach confidence, players confidence, and, you know, I like what I saw from our bullpen the last three games.
You think about some of the guys who pitched this weekend. Will McIntyre came in and had a nice inning. Christian Fouch had a dominant inning. They got Cole Gibler, his SEC debut. I mean, it was good to see a lot of these guys who have been struggling or may have not had that opportunity in the past come in and get themselves a good inning and maybe some confidence moving forward.
I think so, and that's one thing I talked about in the post game yesterday is, you know, you get a hitless inning from Fouch, Gibler, Wiggins, Aiden Jimenez, two hitless innings. You look at Saturday, Dylan Carter, Will McIntyre, hitless innings. Steele Eaves gave up one hit. But, I mean, they all came in and threw the ball really well. And, you know, I tell you, I'm proud of the team and just the Razorbacks in general, the way they played the game. A lot of teams, and you've seen some stuff around the SEC, a lot of teams would have gone Bush League after they just start beating up on people. They'd be bat flipping and doing cartwheels at the plate and all kinds of stupid stuff that goes on these days in the SEC. We beat down on them three games, and we did it professionally. like we knew we were supposed to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah, and there's a way to do it. There's a way to go about it. And, you know, there was a point in the game where, you know, Bobby started holding runners up at third. Now, there was one instance where he sent a guy in the last game yesterday, but the right fielder, he didn't come get the ball. So if he's not going to come get the ball, just let it trickle out there in the outfield, score him.
It was dabbling. I watched this play. He actually gave him the stop sign, and then the guy can't pick up the ball. Yeah. And I almost feel like it's more disrespectful to stay at third base in that situation than just go ahead and, you know, go on with a routine play.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it on the air. I said I felt bad for Lovett right there. If Lovett wants to go out there and just smack the right fielder for – just charge the ball. If you charge the ball, our third base coach isn't going to send him right there. But if you're going to dog it and let the ball just trickle out there, I mean, he's going to send him.
And so. they don't set the record for the most runs in the weekend if they're – what is their first baseman? And first baseman pitcher, they can't get their act together on that little dribbler. And then Gabe Frazier just beats it to first. That scores a run. Then another next guy, I think maybe Cujillo, gets a hit up the middle. That scores a run. And I don't know, it was just that kind of weekend for Missouri.
So I outlined that at the very end, first baseman Nicoletto not covering first.
Mm-hmm.
That was like just kind of a culmination of the whole weekend. That just set it all right there in the way they played the game of baseball. And it's just not supposed to be played that way. Like I said, you can be bad, but do things right.
So these are the highest scoring SEC series Arkansas's ever had. I capped it at 38 runs. So this is all the times Arkansas scored 38 or more runs in an SEC series. 51 this weekend against Missouri. And keep in mind, this Missouri series, the only time that they've ever had seven inning games in any of these, because the run rule didn't exist until a couple, 3 years ago. South Carolina in 97, they scored 50 runs. They actually lost one of those games, by the way. They scored 50 that weekend, and it was really propped up. They had a 30-run game in the finale, 30-7. Also in 1997, you're going to hear a theme here. Georgia, Arkansas scored 43 runs. 1997, Vanderbilt, Arkansas scored 41 runs. That 97 team could hit.
Yeah.
They couldn't pitch, though. And I think they ended up like 14-15 in the SEC, and they've got all these offensive stats. You know, I mean, that's a lot of these numbers that Arkansas is chasing this year offensively, like best slugging percentage, for instance. That was the 97 team when they're playing with – how would you describe those bats they played with in 97?
It's like – corked bats on steroids.
The 2018 team, Kentucky series. You remember this one? That was their first SEC series that year against Kentucky. Hit 13 home runs, scored 39 runs. Mississippi State in 95, 38 runs. Ole Miss in 98, Arkansas scored 38 runs. And I went back and looked up, Bubba, the scoring margin in a lot of those, because the assumption would be, unless you just got a great pitching weekend, that the highest margin, you know, combined margin of victory would have come from one of these where they scored the most runs. Again, they beat Missouri by 42 runs this weekend, an average of 14 a game. Before that, it looks like the most that they've ever beaten a team by in one weekend was 27 runs against Georgia in 1997. And they came close earlier this year. Remember South Carolina? That was a 26-run margin, 35-9.
Well, Here's what's crazy, Matt, and you already alluded to it. We did it in 18 innings. What if we didn't play the 7-inning game?
We might still be there.
I mean, just how many runs would we have scored? First of all, they would have ran out. I mean, and once again, God bless Lovett. If Lovett doesn't come in and shut the door for a couple innings and slow us down, there's no telling how many. I was afraid that second game yesterday was going to get really out of control. But, yeah, what if we were playing 9-inning games? So you add, you know, 6 more innings to that. Crazy.
We'd still be there.
Yeah,
we might. I legit think we would still be there. Because it felt – boy, if I love baseball. I was tired of baseball at the end of yesterday. I was like, I'm ready to be done with this. That was a lot of baseball packed into a really, really short window.
You know, you asked me that question when I first got here, and – remember what I said? I was actually having fun. Now, it's hard to watch bad baseball, but I like watching good hitting. And I thought our guys did a great job of taking walks when they gave them to us. And when we got a pitch over the plate, we hit it hard. As a hitter, I don't care how cold it is. If you're scoring runs like that, you're not cold. You want I'd want to keep hitting. I mean, I don't care how many ABs. If we're scoring runs, let's there's a fight at the bat rack. Let's get up there and start swinging.
A couple more thoughts on margin of victories. This year in their four SEC series, you know, they lost the game to Ole Miss and they've won 11 in a row since then. That's a record for the most consecutive SEC wins. They outscored Ole Miss by 8 on the weekend, South Carolina by 26, Vanderbilt by 15, Missouri by 42. Arkansas right now, and this is a stat that I really love to track because I would like to go back and see how many of the last, you know, however many national champions have been top three or four in run differential, because I think it's probably most of them. Like Tennessee was number one last year.
Right.
And Arkansas is number one right now in run differential. It's like 6.6 a game.
It's pretty impressive. I haven't looked at run differential that much. I did go back and compare, or I actually texted you last night, and I appreciate you researching that. Last year's numbers at this time compared to this year,
mm-hmm.
and it's crazy the difference.
So tell what it looks like, because it is a huge difference in offensive numbers.
I mean, last year at this time we were 29-3, and our overall batting average was .288. Our SEC batting average was .259. This year we're 30-3. Our overall average is .335. Our SEC only batting average is .361. So compared to the .361 SEC to .259, I mean, it's crazy. If you look at home runs, Matt, last year at this point we had 72 home runs. This year we had 72. Last year 47. SEC only we have 33 home runs. 21 last year at this point. And this is the number that's crazy: is runs scored. Last year, 236. This year, 334 at this point. If you count SEC, it's 74 and 138 this year. I mean, that's crazy, those numbers. I hope I didn't you're a number. You're Rain Man.
I'm right here with them. I'm there.
But, I mean, the difference in the numbers, and what's crazy is, that, you know, basically the same record,
mm-hmm.
but offensive numbers are just off the chart. And now I should have had you send the pitching side of
it, because
that's where the, you know,
what do you want, ERA?
Yeah, ERA, runs allowed.
ERA this time last year was 2.56 overall. This year it's 3.53. If you look at SEC only stats, so it's basically a run, a game difference in terms of ERA. If you look at SEC only, last year their ERA was 2.83 through the first 12 games. This year it's 3.96. So again, about 1.1 run a game. But the... Again, it goes back to run differential. The increase in offense more than makes up for that run-a-game difference in pitching.
Absolutely. Now, before I start anointing us, you know, World Series champions, I mean, the schedule, we're getting ready to get into mm-hmm. a tougher portion of the schedule. There's no doubt. But if you go back and look at, like I was looking at Ole Miss stats, they've been dominating since we left Ole Miss.
Very good.
I mean, they're leading the conference in strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their team, their pitching staff's leading the conference in strikeouts.
And Arkansas struggled with strikeouts that weekend. It was pretty much the only weekend they have.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Vandy goes down and sweeps. You know, they sweep Florida, which
held them to 5 runs in the bandbox,
right,
at Florida Stadium.
So once again, that's and I thought Vandy had good pitching, and we went in there, and I mean, we just tore the cover off the ball. So, I mean, I say it's going to get harder. It's this weekend's tough. It'll be fun to watch this weekend because Georgia's a tough place to go play and play.
And they're going
to
be mad.
Yeah.
They're going to be very mad, and they're going to be motivated. It's a combination of they just lost to Texas, and here comes number one.
Yeah.
And you've got a head coach in Wes Johnson who's coaching against one of his, you know, former bosses, maybe mentor types. I mean, there's going to be a lot of motivation there for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend.
And like you said, that's not an easy place to play. And now it's an all-turf field, too. That changes the dynamics, I guess, a little bit playing down there, or at least to me it does. Okay, so speaking of runs, you know, Dave Van Horn, you heard him say just a second ago, they scored 51 in basically 24 hours. I think it was about 27 and a half, if you want to get specific. I said, and I asked him a follow-up, I said, you mentioned 24 hours. Again, it was 51 runs in basically two games, and this is what he had to say about that.
Yeah, it is. It's real impressive. I mean, we took our walks. We got hit by pitches, unfortunately. You know, when we're I don't like our guys getting hit by pitches at all, but if you do, it's to start an inning or keep an inning going or whatever. But we got hit by a lot of pitches, it seemed like, at least yesterday. And today, just a lot of walks and a lot of big hits. I mean, I think we had 15 hits a game somewhere in there, and I guess 16 both games. So, yeah, it's, you know, you don't expect it. You hope you can score a lot of runs. And SEC teams are they're pretty good, and they're pretty powerful. And, you know, Missouri didn't have their top pitcher this weekend, and also one of their best players, their shortstop, was out. And I think he had the highest team highest batting average on the team. You know, so that contributed a little bit. But really, it was what we did at the plate, and that was just really be relentless and not give up at bats.
I want to talk about what Arkansas's left-handed hitters are doing right now. Because Cam Kozel is on an absolute tear. I mean, it's amazing watching him hit. And he is hitting so well, Bubba, that it kind of makes you forget about what Charles Davelin's doing at the top, to an extent. What Logan Maxwell's doing in the number three hole in a lot of games. I mean, SEC-only stats, because I know you love those. Maxwell's hitting .462 in SEC-only, 6 homers, 10 RBI. Davelin, .429 in SEC only, with 8 homers after yesterday. He hit a pair, 22 RBI. And then you've got Kozel, and again, he's done most of his damage in the last 6 games, beginning with that Vanderbilt series. .532 is what he's hitting. 5 doubles, 5 home runs, 26 RBI. Had 2 doubles and 2 home runs yesterday. Davelin had a couple of home runs, too. Really, I thought Kozel in game 2 of the doubleheader was like Davelin in game 1. Davelin a grand slam and a 3-run home run in game 1. Kozel a 2-run home run and a grand slam in game 2. And I know they're a little bit different. And when you see them side by side, like we saw them up at the podium yesterday, you can see, you know, Kozel's a little bit thicker, maybe a hair taller. But when they're at the plate, they look like the same hitter. I mean, They're a ton of backside hits. Obviously, they go the other way really well. And short, compact swings, and boy, they are hard to get out right now. I told somebody in the press box yesterday, I said it's almost like they're on a little two-man competition to see who can be more hellacious on the other pitching staff.
I thought it was funny on the SEC network. I looked up at one point on the monitor, and they had Lenny Dykstra and Charles Davelin side by side. I don't know if you saw that or not, but
I've heard that the comparison.
A lot of similarities there, but. The thing is, it's crazy, Matt. They both use the whole field. Mm-hmm. They take what the pitcher gives them. You know, if they get a pitch away, they're gonna drive it to left field with two strikes. They do a great job with two strikes. Like Kozel's grand slam yesterday, he's a 2-2 breaking ball. Got his hands aside and hit it halfway up the building. They don't expand the zone a whole lot. What I like the most is they seem to always get their best swing off, you know, and that's something that Nate preaches a lot is get your best swing off. And they do. And it's whether it's going the other way, you know, pulling the ball, whatever, they just, I don't know. They just seem to have a really good approach and plan at the plate, a really good feel for their strengths versus what the pitcher's trying to do to them. You can mesh the two together and that's your approach.
Doing some math here real quick for you. OPS for these three left-handers in SEC only. Davelin, .1367. Pretty good. Third best on the team. Third best.
Third best.
Maxwell, .1524. Kozel, .1539. And again, an OPS for people who may not get into the more advanced statistics. Good OPS is 900, 950, I would say. I think you maybe even go down into like the upper 800s.
Yeah.
That's a good OPS. Anything over 1,000 is pretty much considered elite. And here you got three hitters who are anywhere from 400 to 600 points over 1,000.
Yeah. Well, you know, I shame on me. I left Maxwell out on that when I was talking about the left-handed hitters. He's what I consider like – he looks like a professional hitter at the plate. Like he just – the way he takes pitches, swings on his terms, love it. I just love his approach.
And I thought they were smart yesterday. I mean, obviously he's dealing with the hamstring, and that's probably going to be something he deals with all year. It wouldn't surprise me. But those have got a tendency to really flare up and hurt on cold weather days. And, I mean, you know, one at some point they're up by so much, let's just go ahead and get him out. Yeah. And then they didn't play him in game two.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that. On that bloop double he hit, you know, I saw him kind of holding his hand, like stretching a little bit. And so, yeah, you worry about that a little bit. But, you know, the good thing about it is it gave Carson Bowles a chance to play. You know, and look what he did. He come up and hit a 3-run homer. So, I mean, it's you know, it's good for other guys to get a chance to play as well. But I know Logan would, I'm sure he hated being out of that lineup in game two.
I guess I threw the softball of all softballs, a question to Dave yesterday because of the way he reacted to it. I asked him, I said, how pleased are you with what Kozel and Davalin are doing for you in the lineup? And this is what he had to say.
I mean, to me, that's a super easy question to answer. I mean, those guys have been amazing. You know, Davalin just seems like he's always on base. He scored 50 runs this year already, and he's got double-digit homers and got 50 hits. And, you know, Kozel was in that lineup early and just, you know, just wasn't going to be denied for the most part and just got better and better. And now he's really hitting, and if you make a mistake, he hits it pretty hard all over the field, and he'll fight you with two strikes. And, you know, I mean, his RBI count, he's up to like 37. And, you know, probably 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, he might have had 18 or something. I don't know. He's driven in a lot of runs lately, started innings, finished innings with big hits, you know, finished off games, honestly. So those two hitters have been really good the last couple of weeks.
We got a lot more to come on our podcast. Arkansas ranked number one today in the national polls. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look around the SEC. What's Nate Thompson's effect being in the dugout on all these high-scoring games? A lot more. But first, another word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Not just a big weekend for Razorback baseball. Razorback softball defeated Florida, the second-ranked team in the country, on their home field down in Gainesville this weekend. Highest ranked win ever for the Razorback softball program, or highest ranked series win and highest ranked win in terms of the Courtney Dyfel era over a number two ranked team. You can read more about them at wholehogsports.com. Ethan Westerman did a good job covering softball for us all weekend. Once again, you can get the latest breaking news on Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams, like softball, like basketball, transfer portal, obviously in full swing. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. So Arkansas is number one in the polls that have been released so far. As we record this, we're still waiting on a couple of polls to be released. But really, it looks like right now the top three in some form or fashion this week is going to be Arkansas, Texas, who had a really impressive series sweep of Georgia this weekend. And you look at Texas, and I think you put their resume up against anybody's in college baseball right now. They and Arkansas are both 11-1 in the conference. LSU went over to OU and won a series over the weekend. You know, and then you've got the teams that were just number one and number three and number four, you know, the Tennessees and the Georgias and the like. It just kind of never ceases to amaze you how difficult and competitive this conference is, and deep.
Well, you look at A&M sweeping a doubleheader from Tennessee and run ruling them in the second one. I mean, that's A&M. What were they, 1-10 going?
I think they were
one and nine.
Well, they were 1-9 going into that doubleheader, and they had been no hit by Tennessee the night before.
Right. No hit the first game, and then come out. You know, I mean, that's, you know, but they've got talent. They've got a ton of talent. But that just goes to show you that how fragile it is in the SEC. I mean, how just the margin for error. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. That's why with Missouri coming to town this weekend, Matt, I was like, okay, you feel like you need to sweep them. You feel like if you don't sweep them, that's kind of like, you know, you're playing golf and you've got that easy par five and you par it instead of birdie. You feel like you're losing one to the field. That's the way it felt with Missouri coming to town. But, you know, you still got to go out and play the game. They're an SEC team. But some of the scores that you see around the league, it's some of the lopsided scores from day to day. It's crazy to me.
A&M, I mean, you talk about the ability to just flush the game before. Yeah. They got no hit, and then they scored 26 runs in the doubleheader against Tennessee, 17-9.
Yeah, something like that. It was crazy. I went back and watched it on YouTube. Watched the highlights of the first game. Started watching the highlights. Second game, had to leave and go to the stadium. But yeah, it's crazy. It shows that they've got talent. I mean, they hit a bunch of home runs. I don't know how many home runs they hit over the weekend, but on yesterday alone.
Part of that's that ballpark.
Yeah,
I mean that ballpark is. Mentioned Florida, they've got a bandbox. I mean Tennessee is right there with them.
Yeah,
probably. I would say those are. It's probably based on the direction that the ballpark faces more than anything else. Yeah, I don't know what the dimensions are in either of those, but I don't think they're crazy off from what other SEC stadiums are doing. But I mean, Florida and Tennessee year over year hit more home runs than anybody else. And when you look at it, and it's this way with most teams, but it's significantly more in their stadiums, and that's why I say that.
Yeah, and I think Tennessee, like I said, you know, I got to watch the first game, kind of watch the highlights. You know, Tennessee kicked a couple balls around. They gave A&M a couple extra outs. And, you know, if you're playing an SEC team, you can't give them extra outs. And it came back to haunt them.
That's the difference, I think, between – and I'm not saying Arkansas is a better team than Tennessee, but the big difference I see between Arkansas and Tennessee right now is in how they play defense. And Arkansas didn't play great defense this weekend. How much do you think the cold – played into that?
You know, I think back to Sousa's play to start game one. You know, ball's hit 104 miles an hour. It's one step to his left. That's an easy double play ball. It should have been 4-6-3. I don't know. I think maybe it did. I'm not sure. I think DVH addressed that. He said he makes that play 99 times out of 100, and I agree with that. It can affect you a little bit. I think especially early in the game like that was first inning, and you're really not in the flow of the game yet. But I think once you get out there and start playing, I think the adrenaline starts flowing, and I don't know that the cold really bothers them. I was talking to my wife about it, and she was asking. I'm like, no, I don't remember playing a game, once the game got started, really being cold. You know, in the minor leagues, you know, we're playing up in the Northeast early in the year. It's snowy and freezing rain and all kinds of stuff, but I think once the game starts, you don't really think about it. But maybe that first inning, it can be a little make a difference. But I like the fact that Gackel kind of overcame that. You know, it was kind of scary to think we had the bullpen up and had Ben Bibee up in the first inning. You know, and that's kind of scary. But it was good to see Gackel pitch out of that.
Yeah, Bibee didn't pitch in a game this weekend, but he probably threw like 40 or 50 pitches because they had to get him warm a couple of different times.
Right.
During that, going back to Tennessee, they're fielding 973. That's 78th in the country. Arkansas is fielding 985. That's 7th in the country. Yeah. And to me, the defense is what really sets those two teams apart right now.
Yeah, I think so. We made a couple errors this weekend. I wish we had back. Like you look at Helfrich on the delay steal through to second. Ball got by Aloy. Then it gets by Sousa. Helfrich gets an error there. I thought when he threw behind the runner, I thought he did the right thing. There was a double steal. He threw behind the runner. There wasn't an error there. It was a good pick by Aloy. I thought we had the guy out. They called him safe. They called him out and then reversed it, I think. But, yeah, anyway.
Those little things. There was a play yesterday, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was Missouri's third baseman sliding into second. He's got his mitt on, and Vahiva is the one who's covering. And, I mean, it's a slap tag.
Yeah.
And if he does not slap as hard as he can, I mean, it's that much difference.
Yeah.
And it's just those little things and the technique that can really go a long way defensively.
Well, and it goes back to, you know, the first thing I talked about is just the little things, how they add up in the course of a game. I mean, look at their third baseman. He got eaten up by a couple of, you know, top spun balls. And mm-hmm. when you get a top spun ball at third base, you got to read that hop. And Iredale's great at either coming and getting it or doing a drop step and getting it. He got eaten up by a couple of balls. Plus, he gets, you know, he gets doubled off on a line drive to second base. I mean, mm-hmm. my 9-year-old guys know that, you know, line drive, you don't get doubled off.
It was a rough day for him yesterday.
Yeah, but you know what?
Did you think they were picking on him with all those bunts? I think there were like 3 bunts and 4 at-bats his way.
Yeah, I think they saw a weak link there. Really, really do. And, you know,
that's once a nice again, way of saying yes.
It goes, yeah. But positioning, I mean, I look at our guys and they know where to be every pitch. They move. Maybe it's just one step in, one step over, one step back. But they're moving. I watch Missouri, Matt, and they don't move. And when they do move, like, you know, Kozel's up. He's been hitting lasers all over the field. First baseman's playing in on the grass. I'm like, what are you doing? He ain't bunting here. Mm. I mean, just little things like that. Just, yeah, you scratch your head sometimes. But, you know, I think Patterson's going to be a good player. He's a freshman. You can tell he's a freshman, plays like a freshman, makes some mistakes. He's got a good body, 6'3". I think eventually he's going to be a good player, but he's going to take his lumps this year.
Also around the SEC this weekend, I think the Arkansas's win at Vanderbilt is going to look really good to sweep them, especially on their home field. They went to Florida. I know Florida's having their struggles, but Vanderbilt swept Florida in Gainesville. I think that was a real solid win for Vanderbilt. Mississippi State took the rubber game from South Carolina yesterday. So South Carolina under Paul Menary just 2-10 right now in SEC play. They're really having a rough go of it. Auburn won a series over Alabama 2-1 this weekend. That game was played in Auburn. Mentioned Texas swept Georgia. That was that was the result of the weekend. Yeah, because there was a lot of thought about, hey, how's this going to go? I tell you what, and I've said this for a long time, Schlossnagel can really coach. And now that you have this era that he's coaching in where you don't have to have that 2-3-year buildup of your roster, I mean, woo, Texas, they look good.
Yeah, he's a good coach, but I lost all respect for him last year. I'm sorry. I look at him different. Good coach, yeah, but –
because of how he left A&M.
Yeah, you got to have a little character there. Character goes a long way with me. And, yeah, the way he did that, that's – I don't know. Didn't like it. It's probably not the only – he's not the only coach to do what he did. But, yeah, I don't forget stuff like that.
LSU won its series over at Oklahoma, and Ole Miss took the series over Kentucky this weekend.
So let me ask you. What's the biggest surprise in the SEC? If you look at all the teams in the SEC, what's your biggest surprise?
Florida at 111.
That's what I was going to say. I can't believe that because O'Sullivan does a good job. You talk about well-coached teams. Usually they do the things that other teams don't do. They play similar to Razorbacks. To see them 111, it's just hard to believe.
It makes you wonder on a team like Florida. So A&M, they turned it around this weekend, and now maybe they've got some positive momentum going forward. I'm really interested to see how that goes when they come here in 2 weeks. Florida, you know, I mean, they were able to keep it together just enough last year to make the postseason. Then they got on a run.
Right.
I have a different feeling about this year's Florida team. I don't know that they've got the leadership within the clubhouse on this year's team, and it feels like this could go really south on them. Like maybe they don't have that midseason turnaround like they had last year.
The good news for them is they have Missouri coming to town this weekend, so you know they might get a couple of wins. They might sweep them. You never know.
So. What if Missouri won a game? Because I mean, we're legitimately talking about Missouri. Do they go 0-30?
Yeah, I texted. I texted Brett Dolan yesterday, and I said this team could legitimately go 0-30, and I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't believe so. I think there have been some teams that have had like 3 and 4 wins, but I don't remember one that's ever been winless. That's hard to go 0-30.
I think their only chance, I mean, from what I saw this weekend, I think their only chance would be Xavier Lovett starting him. in a seven-inning game. Hopefully, hopefully they get a little bit of production from the top of the lineup. You know, what's his Knudsen. I always say
Knudsen.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say Knudsen because it's hard for me to pronounce that. But yeah, Knudsen. You know, he's got a lot of energy. Hopefully, top of the lineup. But that might be their only chance to get a win. I just don't see anyone else that can stop an SEC team. I mean, you know, Caden Jacoby threw okay. I mean, he wasn't bad, but I mean, you know, nothing special.
Have you looked at Missouri's SEC only ERA now?
Yeah, Phil figured it up yesterday.
I mean, is it above 15 now?
I think it was 13.
I think it was 13 something, yeah. Going into game two.
Might have been.
Yeah, I mean, so it's on the way up. It's, again, it's just, I've never seen pitching like that.
Yeah.
That looks like, I can't remember who said this yesterday. I heard somebody say it, though. You know, the question has always been, like, what would it look like if a SWAC team came in and faced an SEC team on the weekend? I mean, that is exactly what I would expect to happen against a Grambling State,
yeah,
UAPB-type team. I know Missouri's more talented in those teams, but that's the type of scores I think that I would expect from those type of games.
Well, and you talk about hitting's contagious, right? And pitching's contagious, but so's bad hitting. Bad hitting's contagious. Bad pitching's contagious. I mean, I don't know. Can they turn it around? Do they have a chance? I just didn't see the arms down there that could possibly turn it around. Maybe there's a couple guys that can come back from injury and help them. But, yeah, it's just going to feel bad for Carrick Jackson. It's going to be a long year.
You talk about your guy Knudsen. At least he was trying to energize the dugout.
Yeah.
I said this morning the dugout was as dead as the Dickie Stevens outfield. From Missouri, outside of that guy. I mean, there's just no life at all over there. And I know it's hard when you're getting your brains beat in like that every game, but just no sign of like anything coming out of there. Even when they get up 1-0, 2-0, it's almost like it feels like they've got a Novocaine injection and they know what's coming in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, God bless Knudsen for trying. You know, he had some energy. I know his first at bat of the second game, you know, he didn't like one of the calls, was barking at the umpire a little bit, and then he drew a walk, and he was all pumped up. And
said something to Beidlecheese, too.
Yeah, that's – I couldn't tell. Did he say it to Beidlecheese?
I think he kind of said it in his direction.
Yeah, I know there was
– because the umpire got on him and said, knock it off.
You know, it's cool. Little Beidlecheese just, like, blew it off. He's like, yeah, I'll get you out next time.
Actually, I think the next time he gave up a double.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Because it was like a two-strike pitch, and I'm like, okay, he's going to get him back here, and then, boom, there's a double. I feel bad for Missouri, and I feel bad for their coaching staff because some of this may be a byproduct of bad coaching. I don't know. But I think a lot of it is a byproduct of – an administration that for years and years and years has totally set baseball to the side.
Right.
And said, you guys just kind of exist. And, you know, I think back to whenever Tony Vitello interviewed for that job in 2016, the year before he took the Tennessee job, he interviewed for the Missouri job. And I talked to him whenever he decided that he was coming back to Arkansas. And I can't remember exactly what he told me, but I think I've got the gist of this right. He said, even if they offered it to me, there was no guarantee that I was going to take it. I think that when you are in a program, and Arkansas has changed a lot since that time, but when you're in a program that has resources and then you go look at a program that doesn't have resources, I think it would be the type of job that you'd probably say, hey, I don't know that I want anything to do with that.
Well, Phil and I talked about that on the broadcast yesterday. If you're a guy coming out of the portal and you're looking at SEC schools, I mean, look at their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been up there with Razorbacks, but I've played a few showcase events at that field, and it's not good. There's nothing to draw you in there. I mean, I don't know why a guy like your top end players are not going to go there unless you're just a kid growing up from Missouri and your dad went there or something, and you want to play there. It's just hard. It's hard to recruit there. I feel bad for Jameson, Garrick, and I mean, it's how do you recruit? I mean, what's your selling point, I guess, other than, you know, hey, come play for me and you can play in the SEC. Other than that, I don't know.
I don't know that they have one. And I feel like, you know, now we're in this era where the haves and the have-nots are growing apart.
You're right.
And, you know, so what Kerrick Jackson is coaching at Missouri is different than what Steve Beazer coached at Missouri for all those years yeah. when he was their coach, and obviously what Jameson, whenever he was the head coach there before that. And I don't know what they're going to do from a revenue share standpoint. I don't know what kind of NIL that they've got, but I just can't imagine that they're going to put a lot of resources into baseball with baseball performing like it is. It just feels to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it feels to me like Missouri has just set baseball over to the side burner and said, we're going to put all of our eggs in the basketball and football basket and go from there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. You know, it kind of goes back to that question I asked Mike Rooney last week. Where do you see baseball going? Is it mm-hmm. going to go in the direction of basketball and football where the huge separation, I mean, the rich get richer and – Yeah, I don't know. It's up to Missouri, and if they want to compete in SEC, they've got to do something to their facilities. I mean, they've got to make a decision. Hey, this is embarrassing to our program. We've got to turn this around. It's one thing to be at the bottom, but just get embarrassed. I mean, mm-hmm. they've got to. I don't know. You got to take some pride in it. Give some money to that facility.
And when we say it's a bad facility, I mean, if you haven't been up there and seen it or seen other facilities in the SEC, like the chasm between the 15th best facility and the worst is huge. Yeah. I'd say 15th is probably OU, right? I mean, it's not a great ballpark, but at least they're trying at Oklahoma. Yeah. And I don't feel like they're trying at Missouri.
Yeah, like OU.
Vanderbilt Stadium is built into the side of the football stadium.
Right.
But at least they've tried, yeah. and they have actually built something there that is serviceable and nice.
Like, I've played a lot at OU, and it's definitely no bomb walker, but at least it's, you know, it has a chance, I guess you can say.
Yeah. Well, and they've got some renovations planned there. Yeah. I don't know how much everything's changing now in terms of teams wanting to actually go through with renovations, but I know they've got some plan there. I wanted to ask you about Nate Thompson being in the dugout, because you look at Arkansas, they're third nationally in scoring right now, they're first in the SEC. In SEC only play, they're actually averaging 1.4 more runs per game than they are overall, which is crazy. You don't see it improve like that, and I'm sure it'll go down, but it seems to me like his presence in the dugout is a key to all of this. You see him, I mean, he is active, he is involved, and it's not to say that he wasn't active involved when he was coaching third base, but he was separated when he was at third base. And I just feel like maybe there's something about what he's seeing and the ability to talk with Dave Van Horn during these innings that are going on. It just feels like there's probably something there that is adding to an already good offensive lineup.
So when you're a hitting coach, Matt, you're about three quarters psychologist, one quarter hitting coach.
Did you see him bring Cujillo over after that first strikeout yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he struck out four times the day before.
Right.
And then he struck out in his first at-bat yesterday. And he brought – and usually a guy will come off the field after they have an at-bat, and nobody says anything to him. They just walk by the coaches, put their bat in the rack, and get back up on the step. When Cujillo came off after that strikeout, Nate brought him in and said something to him, and then the rest of the day he goes like 5 for 9 with 5 or 6 RBI. So, I mean, it plays into the psychology part.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. So I always loved my hitting coaches. Like, you want your hitting coach. It's almost like your second dad. you go to him for advice a lot. I mean, you really do, and you really lean on him. And a lot of it is it's about approach. But you know, it's so nice to have your hitting guy in the dugout where you can, you know, after an at bat, you can just ask him a simple question, or you can look at the iPad and see where the pitch was, and Nate can talk you through it, or you know, hey, I've got a pretty good idea what this guy's going to do to you next at bat. Go up there and look for this. Or, man, it's so valuable having him in the dugout. And like I said, it's a lot of it is just psychology. It's right here. Hitting's a mindset, and you got to have the right mindset when you step up to the plate. And I think having Nate in the dugout's really been a big boost.
And when you're coaching third base, you just don't have a whole lot of time to. Because your hitters are also fielders,
right?
And so I would really be interested to break down just how many more minutes per game he has to interact with his guys, because it's a lot.
Oh yeah, it's not even close than when he's at third base. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're at third base, I mean you know what can you grab him when he's going out on the field and say, hey, you know, do this. I mean, but when you've got all that time, and I watch the guys, so I watch the dugout a lot. I think it's interesting you saw him talk to Cahill.
It was after an inning-ending strikeout. He brought Cahill over, put his arm around him, and, you know, it looked like he was just giving us some encouraging words.
Yeah, and sometimes you need that. I mean, you really do. I mean, sometimes you need a fire lit under you, but a lot of times you just need a little bit of encouragement and, you know, maybe change your approach a little bit. But, yeah, I think it's awesome having him in there.
And, you know, baseball's different than football. Football, you know, you might have your offense coordinator up in the box, separated from everybody, but you don't see the third base coach over there with a headset on, able to talk to the dugout. It's just, it's interesting. And I almost wonder if, you know, they think like, man, we should have done this a long time ago.
I know. I think it's a combination, though, of him being there. I think that has helped. But, I mean, we've just got the right dudes in here right now to construct a really good lineup from top to bottom. I think it's a combination. Plus, we have depth, you know. I mean, we have depth on the bench that we haven't had in a long time.
Arkansas State comes in tomorrow night, 6 o'clock first pitch over at Baum. This is Arkansas's last home game for about a week. They got to go to Georgia. After that, I don't know a whole lot about Arkansas State. I do know this, though. From a pitching standpoint, Arkansas, it feels like they are in a good shape going into this game, because you play 3 7-inning games. You get a little bit of length from your starters, maybe not as much as they would have liked to have had, but they didn't have to use the bullpen a whole lot. And I don't know, outside of Jimenez, did any reliever pitch more than 2 innings this weekend? I don't remember one.
No, I don't think anyone did. Just 1 inning at a time, you know, and –
no Colin Fisher, no Tate McGuire, no Ben Bibee. This is a good opportunity for them tomorrow night. I would expect to get some innings.
Yeah, I think so. I would think Tate threw well last Wednesday. I would assume he's going to start, but you never know. And then, you know, you definitely want to get Bibee a few innings and or a couple of innings, and then Colin.
What about in terms of getting some of these hitters off their feet? Like the there's got to be an interesting dynamic at play here between, okay, these guys are hot. You want them to keep hitting, but they also might be a little bit tired because they just, even though it was 3 7-inning games, I mean, I would not be surprised if Charles Davlin had over 20 plate appearances in these 3 games. I don't know that for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. So the dynamic between keeping them hot and getting them off their feet before this series at Georgia.
I don't know. If I was in the lineup, I wouldn't want to sit.
I would never want to.
Though. I would. Yeah, I hated days off, you know, and I don't think you get at – at that age, you don't get tired. Now, if you're a guy like a Maxwell battling a hammy, that's different. But, man, you know, those guys want to be out there. Davlin wants to be there. I mean, because the whole lineup, they all want to be in there. Now, the one exception would be a Ryder Helfrich. I think, you know,
you got to give him a day off.
Yeah, you got to give him, you know, let Becker go in there and catch. But, yeah, I think Ryder could use a day off with his legs. But, you know, and he's a guy that, you know, he's swinging it really well right now. You almost want to DH him. Of course, you don't want to DH your catcher. You want to give him a day off. But, you know, hitting is fun. And, boy, when you're in a groove, you don't want to sit out.
Arkansas State 14-17 overall this year. They're 5-7 in the Sun Belt Conference. Sun Belt's got 3 ranked teams, by the way, this year. Sweet. They're kind of flying under the radar. They went to Coastal Carolina, who's one of those ranked teams, over the weekend, and won the finale after losing 4-1 in the first two games. So Arkansas State at Arkansas tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is the scheduled first pitch, and I don't think there's any rain in sight, thank goodness.
Tell you what, it's supposed to be like 70 degrees, can't wait. I know the guys are excited. And that's the other thing, thinking about what they did over the weekend in those elements, because it is not fun to hit when it's that cold. I mean, yeah.
Do you think they would prefer Texas to be number one this week?
No. You know, I'm not one of those that says, oh, no, we're number one, we're going to tighten up now. I don't think this team will tighten up. I think this team knows they're good, and I think they're going to wear it with a badge of honor and just say, hey, you know, we're still going to go out and play Razorback baseball. I mean, we're good. We've earned it.
I think the thought process there is that number one gets the attention of the opponent a little bit more. But you don't think it matters if you're number one or number two or number three?
I don't think so. I think if you're Arkansas, you get the attention of every opponent, whether you're one or ten or whatever. I think every team that plays the Razorbacks knows what they're getting ready to. I mean, they know what's getting ready to come when they play a Razorback team.
They play a Georgia team this weekend, and we'll talk more Georgia series, but just real quick, it's not really pitching that well. They're an offensive-minded team, and so it feels like it could be another high-scoring weekend down there. I think with these left-handed hitters, they go over to Foley Field. That's the shortest porch in right field in the SEC.
Good weekend to be a hitter, right?
Is there ever a bad weekend to be a hitter?
Hell no. Every weekend's good.
All right. We appreciate you joining us. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. Dave Van Horn is speaking at Swatters Club today here in Fayetteville. We'll have coverage from that this afternoon at our website, wholehogsports.com. Bubba will be back in studio Thursday as we preview Arkansas and Georgia. Hope to see you at our website. Hope to see you tomorrow on our podcast. Have a great day, everybody.